Okay, so for those who are new and maybe not familiar with the Sefer, we're learning Leket Amarim from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, who is on the wall. It's the Chaim. Okay, if you haven't seen him before, take a stop by the wall later to get a closer look. We're on page 135, and the new piece is called Tachsisei Milchama B'Milchames HaYetzer. Okay, we're going to talk about different strategies, different techniques that the Yetzirah uses to battle us, and different ways that we fight back. And he's going to talk about two major traps that we fall into. What's amazing about this piece is he starts with a medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. And the truth is, as you'll see, for anyone who's ever opened up to the first page of Lakutim Aran, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter is one of the leading tzaddikim of Breslov Chassidus in Eretz Yisrael today. So much of the Sefer is built on the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. But you'll see right away that this first piece has a lot to do with the first piece of Lakutim Aran for those who have studied it before. But let's see, we'll learn it together. The Medrash says, Mashal lemelech she'amr libno tzela prakmatia. A mashal of a king who said to his son, I want you to go out into the world of prakmatia. What is prakmatia? Business. Go get a job. So the father, the king, sends his son out. He says, I want you to be in charge of the imports, the exports. I need you to do a little traveling. Now, he's not used to leaving the palace. He's very comfortable in the palace. He's a ben melech. Armelo Abba, misyari ani baderech min alistim. I'm very nervous. I'm nervous that when I travel, God forbid, I could be attacked by robbers. Nu ma'asa ha'av, what did the father do to protect his son? Notol makel. He took a staff, a stick, v'chakko, and he carved out a hole in it, carved out this stick, v'nasan bo kameya, and he put into it an amulet. Now again, I don't know what was written on that kameya. I'm not sure what mystical things were written on that little piece of parchment or paper, but he stuck it into the stick, v'nasan libeno, and he gave this staff to his son. V'amrlo yehei hamakel hazeh biyadcha. Carry this stick in your hands. Keep it close by. And then you have nothing to fear from anything, from anyone. Shum birya, any creature. No human being, no wild animal. Nothing can harm you as long as you carry the stick with the kameya, with the amulet of the melech etched into it, so to speak. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So too Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Emorly Israel, tell the Jewish people, my beloved children, Asku b'Torah, if you study Torah, v'chulu. The end of the Medrash is, you'll have no fears from any nations of the world. When we have Torah, we've got the ultimate weapon. No one can mess with Klal Yisrael when we have that stick in our hand. Now, it's a funny mashal, because you want to make a point that Torah study protects a person. What's the stick? What's the amulet in the stick? I mean, a stick you could use just to knock someone over the head. What's written on this piece of paper, this mystical amulet that was placed inside of the stick? And how does this represent the sort of a two-pronged response of Torah to whatever threats we have in this world? So he explains, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita. Divrei ha-medrash halalu yisbaru heitev kamin chomer. This medrash can be explained kamin chomer as an entire entity, right? Kamin Chomer means we'll explain it seamlessly. We'll explain it from beginning to end. Al pi divrei Rabbeinu bereish lakutim aran simen aleph. What a nice place to start the new zman. Namish, page one, here we are, we're picking up in the middle of a sefer, but he's taking us back to the opening teaching of Rabbi Nachman and Lakutim Aran. If you've learned that teaching, he says, you'll understand very well what this medrash is hinting to, or maybe he said, you know, more accurately, chronologically, right? When you now see this medrash, you know what Rabbi Nachman was drawing from when he wrote that first piece in Lakutim Aran. What's the first piece in Lakutim Aran? The opening pieces in Lakutim Aran are explaining some very wild agartas. There are some really wacky stories, which are filled obviously with the greatest depths of Torah, that appear in Maseches Bava Basra. The stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And many have tried to explain these agaritas. They're very deep, they're very mysterious, they're very strange. Perak Hamocher Asasvina, in the parak that talks about one who's selling a boat. And then it gets into all these stories of people traveling on ships by sea and sea creatures and all sorts of unusual things. Sham Muva Levaris Amaimer Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He's explaining one of the fantastical tales of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, as the Gemara describes in Bava Basra Daf Ayin Gimel. And here's the story. Hai Gala Demitva Lisvinta. A certain wave, a gal is a wave, that tried to what? That tried to drown, that tried to sink a svinta, a ship. Mitchazi kitsutsisa denura chivarta bereshe. Mitchaze, it appeared, chazi means to see, it appeared. Kitsutsisa denura, like a flash of light, or a fire, like a spark of a fire. Chivarta, white, like a spark of white fire. Right? Like a white flame, bereshe, on its tip. So you have this huge wave, picture this massive wave coming in, and at the tip of the wave, at the point of the wave, it looks like a flash of a white flame. And it was trying to overturn a boat. Okay? He gives us the Hebrew in parentheses, in brackets. Hagal azeh shamatbiya lesvina, mischazek mo nitzutze eish levana berosho. Again, the wave that was trying to sink the ship looked like what? Looked like a flame, a white flame at its tip. Uperish Rashabam. Rashabam is on the side of the Gemara in Meseches Bava Basra. Eish Levana, a white fire. Umalach Maziku. And this is a destructive angel. Okay, so you have this destructive angelic force riding the tip of a huge wave coming to drown a ship, coming to sink a ship. Bava Chana said, I saw this. I saw the wave coming at me. I saw that white spark of a flame, which was some destructive angelic force coming at me. And what did he do? To protect himself. Says the Gemara, Umachinan lei ba'alvasa, I struck it. I took my stick. I struck it with an alvasa. I hit it with my staff. Dechokik alei eka asher eka. I hit it with a stick that etched into the stick was the name of Hashem that we encounter upon leaving Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to save the Jews. I don't even know your name, God. Which is a crazy sugya to think about. It's like, oh, by the way, after all these years, like, by the way, what's your name, by the way? Oh, it's nice of you to finally ask. It's not like this is the first encounter with God. I don't even know how to describe you. I don't even know who you are. A lot to think about there. But Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jews, Ehayah Asher Ehayah, I will be what I will be. Which is the name of God. Aleph and Hey and Yud and Hey is the name of God. So apparently Rabba Bar Chana saw this wave coming at him. He saw this malach at the tip, riding the tip of the wave, coming to shatter and destroy and sink his ship. And he grabbed his magical staff, and etched into the staff was what? This name of God, Eke Asher Eke, I'll be what I will be. Umakim oso b'makel, shachakuk alav, Eke Asher Eke. Right? Now that just the translation in brackets, and I struck it with a stick that said Eke Asher Eke, V'od Shemos Hambuskarm B'Gemara. And the Gemara actually brings other names. The Gemara actually brings other names there as well. Thought I had something good for a second. Okay, good. U'mefarish Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Nachman explains. Gala, what is this wave? Hu ayetzer hara. Chaver, if you came in now, there's copies on the table, so just get a copy, please. Gala, hu ayetzer hara. The wave, of course, is the ayetzer hara that's coming at us. And it's trying to what? It's trying to sink the svinta. What's the svinta? Hachein v'hachashivos shel Yisrael. Okay? Let's pause here for a second, and let me read you the opening paragraph, because this is the end of the first Torah in Likutei Moharan. But how does Rabbi Nachman begin? What's he talking about? It's important to understand the context to better appreciate this piece. So here's how he begins Likutei Moharan. Here's how he starts Likutei Moharan. He starts off by saying, "Da, you should know, ki al yedei haTorah neskablim kol haTfilos v'chol haBakashos." When we have Torah, when we're true to Torah, all of our prayers, all of our desires will be answered. V'achein v'achashivas shel Yisrael nis'ala v'nisrome im b'fnei kol. And the chein, how would you translate the word chein? The grace. And the chashivas. and the importance of the Jewish people will be elevated before all. Hein beruchni, hein begashmi. Right? The world will recognize the greatness of the Jewish people, and we'll have everything we need spiritually and physically. Because Rabbi Nachman says, ki achshav ba'avonoseinu harabim, because unfortunately today, in our sins, chein v'chashivas ha'amiti shel Yisrael nafal. The grace and the importance of the Jewish people has fallen in the dirt. If you think about it, it's still true today. Rabbi Nachman passed away in 1810, but it's still on a certain level true today. For some reason, the world has yet to recognize the importance and the beauty and the sweetness and the chein, the grace of the Jewish people. And it's unfortunate, says Rabbi Nachman, it's our fault. It's because of our averos. It's because of our lack of commitment to our own Torah values that the world looks down upon us. But when we are true to Torah, then the chein achashivas is restored to us. Ki achshav ikra achashivas v'achein hu atzlam. Because nowadays, says Rabbi Nachman, the chein and the chashivas is by them. The chein and the chashivas, what do people think is important in the world today? Who's considered to be, you know, someone important in the eyes of the world? Is it some tzaddik who's sitting in Yerushalayim in some Beis Medrash, learning and teaching Torah day and night? Is he chashiv in the eyes of the world? Who's more chashiv, him or LeBron James, in the eyes of the world? LeBron James. It's more chashiv, right? So that's a perversion of chein and chashivas. What's really chashiv? So chein and chashivas has fallen because of our lack of commitment to Torah, and because of that, says Rabbi Nachman, much of our tefillos go unanswered. And he goes on to explain why that's so. I'll just explain it to you very simply. When a person has chein, you want to do things for them. When someone comes over to you with a smile, and says good morning, and they're radiating a certain positivity, right? And you see that they're a pleasant person to be around, and then they ask a favor of you, you want to do a favor for them. You're happy to do a favor for them. But when a person lacks chein, right? So then it's much harder to want to be responsive to them. If someone doesn't say please and thank you, you're not as quick to want to help them. There's a lack of connection that's felt there. So the same thing's true between us and Hashem. When we're true to Torah and its values, and then we come to Hashem, and in a sweet way we say, Hashem, I need a little more parnasa. I'm so sorry to bother you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know that we're very close. I'm so thankful that you've given me the gift of Torah, as you see from the way that I live my life. It would really mean so much to me if you could help my daughter get a shidduch. Whatever it is, Hashem is much more quick to respond because Hashem likes you. Again, I'm oversimplifying the Rabbi Nachman's words and obviously the whole sugya. But on a very simple level, there's a difference between, you know, the tzedakah collector who knocks on your door and greets you with a smile and gives you a bracha and says, you know, versus the person who just expects you to give them money. And you should still give them money. But you give more generously to a person who's, you're willing to respond more quickly to a person who has chein. So unfortunately, says Rabbi Nachman, the chein and the chashivos, the grace and the importance of the Jewish people, is in a fallen state. And our job is to try to restore that. So that's what he's referencing now, looking back inside. That's what he's referencing here. So there's a Yetzirah that's trying to drown the ship. What's the ship? Rabbi Nachman was unbelievably brilliant and creative. And that's an understatement. He says, Svina is a ship. What else does the word Safun mean? He says, it means a lashon of Chashuv. He quotes a Gemara in Moed Katan, Hachein v'chashivas shel Yisrael, milashon man Chashuv, man Safun. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, who is important? Who is noteworthy? So the word Safun, the Samach, similar to the word Svina, means important. So the Yetzer Hara is trying to drown out the importance of the Jewish people. That's his point. And how does it do so? Umischazi kitzutzisa denora chivarta bereshe. It appears like what? What do we say? Like this white flame at its tip. What does that represent? Ki betchila ha'Yetzer Hara mishlabish atzo b'mitzvos. Why is it a white flame? Shouldn't it be a dark flame? A red flame? White is associated with purity. White is associated with chesed. How does the Yetzer Hara initially sometimes deceive us and cause us to lose our chein and our chashivas by presenting certain things as mitzvos when they're not? The Yetzirah mislabesh atzmo. He dresses himself up in what appears to be mitzvos. A misplaced emphasis on the wrong things. Right? Sometimes we think, you know, take an extreme example, but like, you know, Neturei Karta Chevra, who are like shaking hands with people who want to kill Jews in Iran, paying shiva calls to, you know, to terrorists who have thankfully been obliterated from the world. So they think they're doing a good thing. And look at the chashivas we get. Look how our enemies respect us. They're laughing in your face. Right? You're doing something which is so anti-Torah. So for a moment it looks like, what? It looks, it's white. It looks white. But be careful, it's deceptive. The Yetzirah can be very deceptive. So how do we actually defeat the Yetzirah? Machinan leba alvasa dechakikalai eka asher eka. So I struck down that wave. I didn't fall for that trick. I recognized the Yetzirah. I recognized that what? That a misplaced focus in Avodas Hashem of Torah is going to actually cause me to lose my chashivas. By compromising my Torah values, it's not going to make the world like me more, actually like us less. It's exactly what we saw in this past week's parasha and in these parashas in Mitzrayim. The more the Jews started to spread out and mingle a little bit, the more they enslaved them. It's part of the story of Jewish history. They try to fit in, thinking that, now they're not going to hate us. Often it led to them. Hainu she'ikr hachna'asa shal yitzahara hu al yidei Torah. She kula shemosav shalakadosh baruch hu. He's here with a stick that had the name of God on it. Let's forget which specific name for a moment. But he says the name of Hashem is a code word for Torah. Why is the name of Hashem a code word for Torah? Why is the name of Hashem a code word for Torah? Because the entire Torah is actually made up of the names of Hashem. The Ramban, in his introduction to Chumash, says that if you were to take all the letters of the Torah from beginning to end, and break them up differently, instead of reading it Bereishis, Bara Elokim, if you were to break it up in different arrangements of letters, the entire Torah from beginning to end are names of God. Obviously lesser known names of God. We know names like Yudke Vavke, Shakai, Elokim, Aleph Dalet, Nun and Yud, Aleph Hey and Yud and Hey, Eke, right? But every bit of the Torah can be understood as a name of Hashem. That's why the source for Birchas HaTorah is Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. When I call out in the name of God, Havu Godel Elokeinu, I have to first give honor to Hashem. I have to say Birchas HaTorah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. When I pronounce the name of God, what is that? When I study Torah, every time I study Torah, I'm being osik. I'm being involved in the name of Hashem, because the Torah from beginning to end is Hashem's name. So the names written on this stick represent what? I beat the Yetzirah with a stick that had Torah written on it, so to speak. Why a stick? What's the imagery of a stick? Explains Rabbi Nachman, V'atorah hi b'chinas vav. If I asked you to pick a letter that looks like a stick, like a baseball bat, yeah, it's the letter vav. Letter vav is the stick. And the letter vav, says Rabbi Nachman, is a letter that's associated with Torah, based on the Zohar. And furthermore, ki haluchos archan vav v'rachvan vav. Interesting. Important to realize, no matter how many different pictures of the luchos you've seen in different shuls, you know, either on the parochas or above the aron, sometimes you see luchos that are rounded on top, and the luchos were not round on top. Sometimes you see luchos that are rectangular, the luchos were not rectangular. Chazal tell us the luchos were square. 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, square. Square luchos. Vav by vav. So therefore, the letter Vav represents, that stick, that Vav, represents Torah. Because the Luchos were Vav by Vav. Bichinas alvasa, and that's like the stick. The Hainu. Makalos techokik alei eka asher eka, Hainu shemos ayin shamot. Look in the words of Rabbi Nachman to see more. Okay? But basically, here's the image we have so far. You have a person who's traveling on a boat. Rabbi Barachana says, I was on a boat. I saw this wave, which is the Yetzirah, coming at me, and I saw the Yetzirah was trying to deceive me by having a white spark at the tip, perhaps representing a falsification or a misplaced focus in Torah and mitzvos, and I was smart enough to realize that it's coming to destroy my sfina, my safon, my chashivas, and I fought back by taking a stick, which represents Torah, which was written on it names of Hashem, which represents Torah. So I fought off the Yetzirah, with a stick, which is Torah, and names of God, which is Torah. Sounds like two different techniques of Torah, and that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so what exactly is going on here? Now, what's amazing is that's very similar to this Medrash that we started with. The king's son was traveling. He was scared. His father gave him a stick. He wrote on it a kameya, an amulet, probably with some names of mystical names of God on it, to protect him from the robbers. V'tochin dvar v'sham, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, four lines from the bottom, HaTorah HaKedosha Machnia as HaYitzahara Sherotzo Lasos as HaAdam Meshuga Mamish Chas V'sham. Chaver, welcome back to Yeshiva. Yeshiva is about learning Torah. It's about a lot of things. Right? But on a certain level, first and foremost, if you want to have a Yeshiva experience, you have to learn Torah. Right? Obviously, Torah means a lot of things. We try to live that here. Right? But Torah is the weapon, is the antidote to the Yetzirah. If you don't have Torah in your life, you're going to lose. You can't fight the Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi lo Torah Tavlin. The Gemara says, Hashem said, I made a Yetzirah, and I made a medicine called Torah. If you don't take your medicine, you're going to be sick. Period. Period. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, but I do a lot of mitzvahs. That's great. You should do a lot of mitzvahs. You need to have Torah in your life. Limud Torah in your life. Study of Torah in your life. HaTorah HaKedosha Machnia Aseitzahara. The Torah is the thing that we use to subdue, Machnia, to humble, and to subdue the Yetzahara. Because the Yetzahara wants to make us crazy. Mamish. Meshuga Mamish Chas V'Sham. The Yetzahara gets us to do irrational, crazy things. To rebel against the Creator of the world. To be dishonest with ourselves. To do things that at the moment that we're doing them, we say, I don't want to be doing this. To know I'm doing an Avera and say, why am I doing this Avera? I can't control myself. That means you're nuts. You're not even in control of yourself. Can't control yourself? That's crazy. You're a crazy person. Crazy person can't control his actions, can't control the things that comes out of his mouth, can't control his body movements. It's a crazy person. You see a person walking down the street, you can see a person, this guy's out of control. He's drunk. He's meshuga. He's not in a normal, healthy state of mind. So the Yetzirah causes us to be crazy. Ki ba'al aveira hu meshuga. Because Chazal tell us a person who does an aveira is crazy. It's crazy to do an aveira. It should be so easy not to do aveiras. Hashem, you do so much for me. I'd have to be crazy to do an aveira. You give me life. You woke me up this morning. You brought me back from the dead. Mo da'ani lefanecha. You took care of me, but took care of my neshama when I was sleeping. And I'm going to do aveiras today? Am I crazy? Chazal say in the Gemara in Sota, Ein Adam over Avera, Elam Kein Nichlas Abo Ruach Shtus. A person doesn't do an Avera unless they're overcome by a spirit of folly, of foolishness. Become crazy or Shota. Ukamo Shamishugaim Tzrichim La Koisam Ulasum Aleim Shemos. Okay, turn the page. Just like Mishugaim, just like people who are Mishuga, who are crazy, have to be dealt with in one of two ways, either through what? La kosam, either through hitting them. Hitting them means using physical force to control them. We'll assume aleim shemos, or by giving them certain shemos. Now, what does that mean? What do you think he means by that? So it could be, he's talking about writing an amulet, some type of spiritual refuah for a crazy person. Maybe it means giving them a name, it means diagnosing their illness and finding the right therapy, the right Rosh Yitevos to help them, you know, be healed. Whatever the modern application is, maybe shamos means write them a prescription so they can get some medicine, right? Whatever it means exactly, we'll have to see. Kumo kein mamish ha-Torah sha'oskim hi-bechinas makalos v'shamos. So too, when we study Torah, the Torah could be like that staff, like the stick, like the baseball bat, to protect, to strike back your Yetzahara by force, or to use shemos, to use names. Again, names of God. We'll have to see how that, again, what that means. Shebezeh makim u'machniyem as Yetzahara u'megarshim min ha'odem as ha'shigon. That is through these two techniques, which we're going to explain now, two traps of the Yetzahara, and how to counter them. It's through these two different techniques that we're megaresh, that we drive away. That we drive away the shigaon, we drive away the craziness. Baruch shtus shenichlas bo. We're able to think like normal, healthy Jews. Bebechinas u'machinan lei ba'alvasa dechakek alei shemos. Again, as we've learned in our story from the Gemara in Bava Basra, a staff that has etched into it names of God. That's how we fight the Yetzer. Okay? Uvesefer Nachas HaShulchan Lagon HaKadosh Rav Nachum of Turin. Rav Nachum of Turin lived from 1825 to 1894. So I'll just do the math for a second. Rabbi Nachman was born in 1772, and he passed away in 1810. Rabbi Nassan, 1825 to 1894. Rabbi Nassan, the student of Rabbi Nachman, was born 8 years after Rabbi Nachman. So he was born in 1780, and he lived a bit longer. Rabbi Nachman died very young. He was 38 years old. Okay, so this Rav Nachman of Turin was a young person living in Breslov around the time that Rabbi Nassan was there. He was not so close at all with Rabbi Nassan in his lifetime, but he regretted it. He realized he had made a mistake, and he got very, very mekusher afterwards to the writings and the teachings of Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nassan. And he became a chashuv person in the tradition of Breslov. So he wrote a famous sefer called Parparos L'Chachma, which is a commentary on the writings of Rabbi Nachman. Okay, and we're going to build, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir, that we're going to build an explanation off of his teachings. Again, what is the staff, and what are the shemos? These two techniques we use to fight the Yetzirah. So it must be that we're dealing with two different types of Yetzirah. So let's first define what are the two types of Yetzirah that we're dealing with, and then we'll understand how to fight back. Let's see. Al-Pi Divri Rabbeinu Hanal Yotzei. Based on the teachings above, we can explain as follows. Based on how Rav Nachman of Turin explained the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. Sha'avur ha-mishugaim zekukim l'shtei tachbulos. Again, when you're dealing with a person who is mishuga, who's not mentally all there, we need two strategies. Tachbulos means strategies. Two techniques. Hakav ha-makalos. Again, striking with a stick, which means some type of physical restraint, refua al yedei shemos, and then there's some type of more internal healing, right? Think about it. We have a stick, and we said that what? The names of Hashem were carved into the stick. Or maybe in the mashal, going back to what we started with in the Medrash, maybe the king hollowed out the stick and then placed the amulet inside. So the stick, so to speak, is the outside, and the shemos, which are either etched into the stick or placed inside of the stick, represent something on the inside. So it's sort of like an external way of dealing with things and an internal way of dealing with things, right? Again, if a person is not mentally there, and let's imagine it's a type of mental illness that can be treated through some type of medication, right? So I could physically restrain, let's say a person acting wild, so I could physically restrain the person on the outside, or I could put medicine inside of them, right, which will cause them to calm down. Okay, so that represents, so to speak, these two aspects. Hakab amakalos, striking with a staff, and refu al yedei shemos. Let's view them as an outside and inside track. Two techniques, let's see. Vahezber l'shteyatach bulos, halalu. And the explanation of these two strategies or techniques is as follows. Kibucho lei hashiga on rachmano latzlan yashlan shnei ofanim. The reason that there are two strategies to fight back is because there's two types of gness when it comes to, again, our spiritual craziness. Aleph, shemisgaber alav, dachaf, la'asos, d'shtus v'shigaon, va'amnam daito lo nis'akma adikach, she'en yodea ki davar shtus l'fanav. Sometimes the Yitzhara is maber alav. The Yitzhara is very strong, and he's pushing me to do something which I know is crazy. Amnam, again, look at the words. Amnam, daito lo nis'akma ad kidei kach, she'eni yodea ki davar shtus l'fanav. My mind has not become so nis'akma. My mind has not become so crooked to the point that I don't think there's something wrong with it. I know there's something wrong with what I'm doing. I know this is a bad decision. I know this is irresponsible. A person's addicted to drugs, and they're at a point where they know it's destroying them. But they can't stop. The taiva is so strong. The addiction is so powerful. So they don't know how to fight back. They know it's not helpful. They know it's not good for them. Right? They can identify this as a shtuyot I have to conquer, I have to get past. And at the moment they're doing it, they're not happy that they're doing it, but they feel that they don't have the physical strength or the emotional strength or the mental strength, or the spiritual strength, to be able to fight off this Yetzirah. Elohu mevin heitiv she'ein omin shuras ha'higayon linokein. He knows full well that this is not min shurat ha'higayon. This is not logical. Higayon means logic. This is irrational to do this. He feels stupid that he's doing it. I told myself I'm going to quit this habit, and I'm still doing it. But he doesn't have the physical strength. He doesn't have the wherewithal to conquer this taiva, which is doichev, which is pushing him to do something he doesn't want to do. That's one type of craziness. At least I know I'm crazy. It's like Rabbi Nachman's famous mashal. Rabbi Nachman in the stories tells a mashal of a king and his advisor who realized that the grain that was produced from a certain crop that year was all tainted and was going to make people crazy. So there's actually a couple of nuschos of the story. But the more famous way of the story is that the king eventually says to the advisor, okay, what are we going to do, not eat the grain? Right? If we don't eat the grain, we're either going to die if we don't have grain, or if we get grain that's not tainted, so then everyone else is going to turn into monsters and zombies, and we're going to be the only two normal ones, and they're going to think that we're the crazy ones. So we have to join them. We have to eat the grain. We have to join the masses in being crazy. Everyone has to be crazy together. But you know what we're going to do? He said, we're going to mark our foreheads. We're going to put some type of mark on our forehead. That way when I see you and you see me, at least we'll remember that we're crazy. Yeah? That's the mashal. We have to eat the tainted grain, right? But at least know you're crazy. That's also madriga. At least know that you're totally crazy is also madriga. Right? Everyone else thinks they're normal. At least we'll know we're crazy. Right? There's a lot to take from that mashal. There's a certain madriga of at least saying, you know what? I'm succumbing to my Yetzirah, right? But I'm not so irrational that I'm convincing myself that this is normal. I know this is not normal. And the fact that I know that's a madriga, that's also a madriga. To know that what I'm doing is the wrong thing, that's a certain type of craziness. The Yetzirah sometimes causes us to have crazy thoughts, but at least I know they're so crazy. I haven't gone down that path where I've started to convince myself that I'm a chacham because I think so creatively. I'm crazy. I have questions, I don't believe in God, that's crazy. It's so obvious that Hashem exists. Right? So at least if I have questions, okay, but I know that that's crazy. It's my own mishagas. I know it's crazy. That should be enough. The Chavetz Chaim told me that there's a God in the world. It's enough. That should be enough for me to believe. Avraham Avinu told me there's a God in the world. Go down the block. Yes, Rav Herschel Schechter. Rabbi Avishaila. Yes, what do you want to ask? Is there a God in the world? Yes. Shkaich. That should be enough. Right? Yeah, but I have all sorts of questions. Okay, so at least I know I'm crazy. I see tzaddikim. I see them walking around. I see people who are, you know, a tefach off the ground. They believe in Hashem. I don't believe in it. I must be crazy. At least I know I'm crazy. I don't think I'm smarter than Rav Schechter. I'm not smarter than the Vilna Gaon. I'm not smarter than the Baal Shem Tov. At least I know I'm crazy. Ha'ofen ha'sheini. But then he says, Beis, there's a second type of craziness. V'hu ha'garua yoser. And this, unfortunately, is much worse. Shemach mas ruach ha'shtus sh'niflis abo. That the ruach shtus, that the spirit of folly has taken hold of me to such a degree. It's this balbel v'nitra of daito. It's called such a bilbul, such a confusion in my mind, such a tiruf hadas. My mind is so scattered. Ad she'eino maven klal, eiza davar akum hu omid lasos. That I start to think, yeah, this is normal. What do you mean? I'm a normal guy. This is what people do. This is what the world does. Yeah, the world's crazy. You think they're normal? Then you're totally crazy. At least know it's not normal. He gets to a point where he doesn't know right from left. He doesn't know good from evil. You kill a terrorist, Yimach Shemo, and the world is being done on the Shiloh, like, well, you know, if an American general died, would we even know his name? Like, we're not holding him. Yeah, because we live in a normal country where we don't have to, like, have a poster of murderers on our wall in order to, you know, to prove our support of the Medina. Right? But people, everything, tov and ra, black and white, everything is mubulbal. There's no clarity on anything. Simple, basic truths of reality are debated. And it's scary. V'drachim akumos domos alav l'mishor. And the most crooked pathways appear to a person like mishor, like a straight path. Like a normal path.
Umishur doma alav lakum. And the straight, normal, wholesome path looks like something which is warped. That's very scary. That's very, very scary. He tells a story here in parentheses. He says, I remember one time 40 years ago, I was in a shul. And people were up late Friday night. And there was this urn with hot water in it. And he said, someone ran over to the urn. He opened the spout. And he poured the hot water on his head. And on it splashed the burning hot water in his face. It's crazy. He said, we saw immediately, it was crazy. Like, immediately there was like blisters on him. Burning hot water straight out of the urn. So Rabbi Yaakov Yeshefler says, afterwards I visited him in the Beis Cholim. I went to visit him in the hospital. And he said, everyone thought that I didn't understand what I was doing. He said, but when I knew it was a hot urn, people thought like I must have made a mistake. I was trying to wake myself up. They were staying up late Friday night in shul. People thought, oh, he must have thought it was cold water. He was trying to wake himself up, and he burnt himself. And the guy says, no, it's not true. I knew exactly what I was doing. Right? So Rabbi Yaakov Yeshefler says, that's crazy. So what the heck were you doing? Right? You knew it was hot water, and you stuck your head under the burning hot water. You burnt yourself and ended up in the hospital. The fact that you thought that was normal is much crazier. It would have been much better if you didn't, right? The fact that you had become so warped to think that was a normal thing to do. It's a weird story. It's a strange story. But his point is that there's two types. There's two types of craziness. There's a craziness where at least I know what I'm doing is totally crazy. And then, God forbid, there's a way the Yetzirah takes hold of us to the point that the Yetzirah has rewired us to think that the crazy things we do are totally normal. And that's a very, very scary notion. He says, last line on the page, V'lachein, Shnei amatzavim halalu zakukim l'shnei minei pulos. So how do we respond to this? Let's do one more paragraph for today. The way that we respond has to be with what? With two different techniques. Right? There's two types of craziness. There's two types of Yetzirah. And therefore we need two different techniques to deal with these two types of Yetzirah. Al ofen harishon, top of page koflamet zayin. Regarding the first way, the first category of craziness, sheina yachol is gabriel al davar hashtus. When a person says, I know what I'm doing is self-destructive, but I just don't have the strength to say no. My addiction, the temptation is too strong. I know I shouldn't, but I can't hold myself back. So for such a thing, tzrichim makel. For such a thing, a person needs what? Needs that stick. Needs the makel. Needs something to beat him back into place. La'koso ula'ayim alav. In order to strike him, to hit him, to scare him, right? To frighten him off. Kedei shiyafache lasos hadvarim haram shachafetz lasos. Meaning, even in that moment when a person feels that he's so subservient to that temptation, right? If someone started attacking him at that moment, right? He would back off. So he needs something to restrain him. He needs something to physically restrain him. What's that stick? What could that stick be? I don't know. Something that scares him. What scares him? What could scare him off? Or what could hold him back? Right? So again, if he's a drug addict and he checks himself into a rehab, right? So they're going to monitor his behaviors, his actions, the things that he has access to. Right? So that's the stick that's holding him back from getting the drugs, right? That's destroying his life. Or the alcohol that's destroying his life. Right? The person who has addiction to pornography. So maybe it's the initial step, the makel is some type of filter to stop him from having access to those things, right? Or some type of, web chaver type of thing, accountability. That the fear or the embarrassment of his friend knowing what he's up to is enough to scare him off, right? So that's the makel. Something that restrains him, something that holds him back, something that scares him away from doing the thing that he wants to do. When we cave and sha'adai into a love, v'yodeya sha'ra'im hema, knows again that the thing is wrong. And he doesn't really want to do it. He is thankful for the opportunity of something to scare him away, right? So he's not upset when he's not able to, satisfy that taiva or that addiction. So he's very happy that he was chased away from it, because he still has rational thought. He knows it's bad for him.
it's hard for him to control himself, but he's happy that there's something that's fighting him off, that's holding him back, that's restraining him. Right? And he's appreciative of that. He's accepting of that. That's how he wants it to be. He's happy to not do the thing that he knows is unhealthy and irrational. However, v'ilu al ofen habez shedaiton is balbula alav lagamri. But the second person, right? The second person who is so meshugal osadavar that he feels that what? He feels that it's good for him. He needs it. He's willing to fight for it. You come at me with sticks and weapons, I'll fight you back. Right? Because he's so desperate for that thing. That his mind is so mububal, completely mububal. Sha'oz lo yo'ilu ha'akos. Right? You could try, he is so pulled into this thing that with all the restraints in the world, he's still going to find a way to get past it. He can have all the filters in the world. He's going to find a way to get past it. Right? So such a person, external healing is not going to be the solution for him. He is so messed up. We need to go deep, deep, deep down to the core of this person. Pia Zetzler Rebbe in Tzava Zeros talks about this also from a medical perspective. Two types of healing. When a person has some type of, he talks about some type of stomach ailment, some terrible stomach illness, right, that causes a person to become very nauseous. So he says you could try to treat it, again, superficially. You could try to treat it in some superficial way, to take medicine to relieve the stomach ache. But if there's if he has an ulcer in his stomach, if there's some type of more serious thing, you can keep medicating and medicating and medicating to dull the pain. But eventually, we've got to cut this guy open and do surgery. We've got to get down to the core of the problem, the crux of the problem. Because all the Band-Aids on top are just not working. We've got to get down to the shoresh of it. So that's also what we're saying here. There's two types of Yetzirah. There's Yetzirah that has still a Yetzirah. It's still external to me. And I know it's bad for me. And I can control it in a certain way. There's Yetzirah that has permeated and penetrated to my insides. To the point that I've got to dig it out, mamish, from the root. Like the Gemara says in our Masechta, Vodazara, Daf Mem Hei, right? That if you want to uproot a Vodazara tree, right? Tzarech l'sharesh achrav, you got to get down to the roots. Because if you just trim the tree, what's going to happen, Chavra? It's going to keep growing back. So you got to dig out the roots. That's the second type of Yetzirah. So therefore, Tzrichim l'seisa lav shemos. For such a person, we need shemos. Again, what does that mean? The amulet in the Medrash, where the names of God etched into the stick, what does that mean in our mashal? Klomar lifol bidrachim ruchniim. We need to get down to the soul of this person, right? Because again, he's lost control of the whole system. Laor alav koach v'segulos hashemos hakadoshim. We need a spiritual reboot because his whole value system has been lost. It's not that he has the right values and he has the right perspectives and he's just struggling to control himself. That's a certain type of struggle. When a person has completely lost his way, we got to get down, get back to the basics. Back to the Aleph base. U'legarish imenu al yedei kach es kochos hatumah, and to drive out, again, those kochos hatumah that have set up shop, mamish, in the core of him. Shehishdaltu alav, that have taken control of him, that dominate him. And those evil spirits that have caused him to become so confounded and so confused. Yeah.
I'm familiar with 12 steps with alcoholics.
Yeah.
And these two things are kind of intermingled with it, and I was thinking about it a lot.
Let's hear.
The first three steps are mainly the first part. It's about being aware. The second one is being aware of the power greater than yourself can destroy your sanity, which means that, you're insane, God is saying, yeah. But that's, the first part of it. And then the second part is more, what are your motivations and why do you still like this? And, yeah.
Okay.
So it's, they're, intermingled.
Very good. Yeah. These are world truths. Not these Torah truths are universal truths. So it makes sense that it would express itself in something like that. Okay, someone else had a comment before? Someone else wanted to? Yeah.
I think this works really well, but something that I learned last semester, and I forgot exactly what we learned it from, but context was that in Gan Eden, the Nachash was external to Chava
right.
and Adam.
Right.
And that, like, one of, it was like a lesser point that we should let it, we should like, try and fight it at while it's still external to us and not let it
right.
get into us.
That's
because
right.
it's a much deeper and harder thing to uproot.
Right, that's right. We were programmed, again, it's a pasuk. Elokim ases ha'adam yashar, Hashem made us straight thinking. V'heim bikshu cheshbonos rabim. We made everything so complicated. We reversed the whole system. So the point that the Gemara in Pesachim tells the story of someone who died. He went to the Olam Ha'emes, the world of truth, and they asked him what he saw when he came back. And he said, I saw an upside down world. And they said, that's not the upside down world, this is the upside down world. Olam Hafach Harisi. I saw a world, everything's backwards there. There's been, no. This is the backwards world. Everything makes sense over there. That's the way it's supposed to be. But being in this world for too long, we become confused. It's the very way that our eye and our brain process images, right? It literally reverses the image. Realize that everything we see is an upside down world. And to be able to, again, to not, God forbid, fall to such a place where I don't even realize, right? It's a sad thing. You see a person who once had spiritual aspirations, and now they think they've, like, you know, they've outsmarted the whole system. They've given up on their Yiddishkeit because they outgrew it. They got those, you don't even realize how crazy you are. At least get back to the point where you're struggling. If you're struggling, but you know the truth, okay, so then at least, you know, that's a certain type of a battle against the Yitzhara. But when it's, again, like the Baal Shem Tov explained, Anochi Hastir Astir, the Pasuk at the end of Chumash, when Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself, double Lashon of Astara, right? What's that double Lashon of Astara? Anochi Hastir Astir. The Baal Shem Tov said, the scariest type of concealment is that Hashem hides himself so well, or Hashem has become so hidden to you, to the point that you don't even realize Hashem is hiding. At least if you know that Hashem is hiding, I want to find him. When Hashem is so hidden from me to the point that there's nothing even to search for anymore, Rahman al-Itzlan, then we've totally lost control. So that's the avod. The avod is to battle these two. And we all have a little bit of these two types. Everyone has a little bit of both. Everyone has things where I know it's wrong, but I struggle with it. And everyone has things where, like, I've kind of just accepted, like, this is how it is. It's not even a struggle. It's not even a fight. It's not even a value. It's not even a goal. Yeah.
Also, in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchot Deot, I think it's in the second parak, the Rambam explains that someone who's, like, not
right.
someone who's yashar, who's, like, straight, he thinks everything's backwards. He thinks
right.
everything's, like, sweet as
sour. Right, exactly. Right, we've experienced it in our own lives, in our physical lives. If your person's sick, person's a physical chola, right? Sometimes the Rambam says, sometimes something which is should taste bitter tastes sweet to you, or something which tastes sweet tastes bitter to you. Right? You're just, your body's out of whack. Right? It could be a hot day, and you're sitting there, and you're freezing cold. Something's off. The whole system's off. But the Rambam says, the same thing happens in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Right? We can sense when our body... At least if a person knows, right? If a person knows that something's wrong with their physical, you know, this is not normal, then they can do something about it. God forbid a person's so sick they don't even realize that they have an illness. That's a very, very scary thing. All right? We will stop here for today. We will continue.